Please listen carefully.
Hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay.
And I'm Christy Jansen. And we are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to make it one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And also, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, tidying up your office-worthy podcast. Today is Friday, the 17th of September, 2021. Hello, friend. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? Did you survive the projectile vomiting of your two-year-old?
Oh, yes. It, you know, everyone who's raised a toddler knows this experience. It was just not one we'd had before. And it was expressive, to say the least. Fortunately, it passed. She is at school and she is feeling better. She actually had her first soccer practice yesterday, which was exciting. And we're okay. We're through it. It was not pleasant. It was a really rough week, but I missed coming to work. I loved getting a chance to listen to you and Amelia. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, binge watching Sesame Street for 2 days, I really am good at shapes, colors, and numbers now. So,
I'm so glad you got that refresher because it's something, you know, you don't think about too much in your grown-up life.
My daughter's favorite shape is a pentagon, which I think is very cute. She's very excited about pentagons. And this is just sort of a rite of passage. We talk about this a lot at the Optimist Daily of the challenges of parenting and having a full-time, really important, meaningful job of both being a parent and being, you know, in the business that we're in. And I just want to express my gratitude to our team at the Optimist Daily and to you and Amelia in particular for not making me feel bad that I had to be home with my sick kid. It is such an evolution in the world of work, and I'm super grateful for you.
You're very welcome, and I'm glad you're back, and it was fun working with Amelia. And speaking of challenges, Summers.
Yes, that's right.
I think that yesterday we talked about the moolus and training cows to pee in their cow latrine.
Right,
in their cow latrine. How they are actually really good at learning how to do this. And since you have a toddler, probably needs a little bit of that kind of training.
I was listening to you guys just giggling because I felt like you were thinking of me, right? So here I am trying to like make sure to manage toddler puke. But also we are amidst potty training.
Are the German calves better than Brennan?
Yeah. And I think the idea of like spraying her with water, if she doesn't do it properly, I'm not sure that's the kind of potty training reinforcement.
Focus on the positive reinforcement. Yeah. Little, give her a jelly bean, like Amelia said they did when in her nursery school.
Well, so we are amidst potty training. And actually, I think maybe we'll give a solution on the Optimist Daily about different methods of potty training. But she is, she's doing okay. She it's when she chooses to. And we're getting there. But I would say 3 days of she and I side by side actually advanced potty training because we had a lot more one-on-one time to just me continually ask her if she needed to use the potty, which I think is kind of funny to think about, like the farmers asking the cows, like, do you need to go potty now? So while I would say that might be a relevant challenge is training cows and toddlers to go potty, I don't think that's probably broad enough. You guys talked about a lot of other really interesting things though, right? There was the climate action story about acknowledging Indigenous communities' commitment to climate action. There was carbon-free shipping. And then there was also this wish cycling, recycling conversation. Trees, teens' mental health. It has been a really rich week here on the Optimist Daily Update. What are you leaning to for a potential challenge for the week?
I think the story about the what does it really mean when you get that, see that little recycling signal on your packages and what do you do with them? And what does that mean? Are they really recyclable? Are they really not recyclable. And it depends on where you live and what your local recycling center's capabilities are.
That was so fascinating when Amelia expressed that in Bozeman, the only thing you can recycle is cardboard. Yeah. That was really interesting.
So, and understanding that for each of our various jurisdictions, I think will be really interesting. So I think I might be willing to take it upon myself to get educated about what my blue bin actually can take and how to handle the things that I might otherwise have to throw away in the other stream, which goes into landfill, I guess.
Landfill. So we're going to do some trash responsibility, trash yes. and recycling responsibility and yes. accountability.
Okay. I think that one might be a good one. Would you be willing to research your local community's yes. recycling processes?
Yes, I will. I will find out, because like you, when we first got here and like Amelia, when we first got to Texas, we just threw everything that was California into the recycling bin, like expected recycling, wish cycling in California. So I am going to dive in and find out what can be recycled in my suburb area of Austin, Texas. And I'm going to take it one step further and see if I can find out where my local landfill is.
Ah, that's good. Yeah. Seeing it and seeing yeah. how it smells might give you a second thought about just.
I'm not sure after the weekend of vomit I'm going to visit it, but I am going to go know where it is, because
located,
I think
on
we
Google.
All, right? Like, I think so. It gives, if we have a location and we have an idea or destination, we understand where these plants are, where our trash is being processed, it might make us all feel a little more responsible. So let's do it. Let's get trash responsible this weekend, reporting back on Monday or Tuesday on how it went and what we learned.
I love it.
And
is power, right? Knowledge is power.
Yeah. And I'll work on potty training too.
Okay.
But yeah.
But speaking of power, can I do my article first?
Please go ahead.
Okay. So my story, the headline that I picked from today's headlines, reads, "In a world first, England, the country of England, will require all new homes to have EV chargers installed." I think this is brilliant.
This is so exciting.
As we've been hearing more and more countries and cities and states and places around the world start a legislative process, a policy process, that they will ban new fossil fuel powered vehicles, the ICE engines, in the next decade. The problem is, and I am a proud owner of an electric vehicle, those electric vehicle batteries sometimes run out of juice. And if they do, and you're out and about in the world, how do you charge it? And I happen to have a garage, which is nice for me, but a lot of people live in places where there's no garages and there's no infrastructure. Maybe they are renters, so they are in an apartment complex. And where do you charge your car if you have an electric vehicle? And as more and more people are going to be owning electric cars, what are they going to do?
Well, we had this thought process when we lived in California too, because we rented the home, and the infrastructure requirement for this home to have an EV charger was going to cost our homeowner $10,000. There was no way we were going to convince them to do that.
You have to upgrade your panel. You have to have a place to plug it in. And now, honestly, we, even though I'm married to an electrician, we haven't got around to installing the higher voltage charger yet. So I just plug it in and it trickle charges, and it takes a long time to get it powered up. But I do it pretty much every night, or not every night, but every time I need to, I can just plug it in, and usually it's totally fine. And there's more and more places in town going in where there's fast chargers, or actually at the mall, I stopped there yesterday for a couple of hours. You can plug in for 2 hours for free, and it's not a fast charger, but, you know, it tops you up. So what is happening in England is, and that's what this article is about, is that they have now decided to introduce legislation in the British government that will require all new homes and offices to feature electric chargers in England, which is a move that will make England the very first country in the world to have this kind of legislation. And that means that all newly built homes, so they're not talking about, you know, retrofitting current existing buildings, but going forward, homes and offices are going to be required to specifically feature smart charging technology that can automatically charge vehicles during off-peak periods. So installing a dedicated plug or receptacle that you can charge your car during, but you won't be, you know, it'll emphasize charging it like after 9 p.m. or during the sunlight hours when there's more renewable energy available. Like for me, between the hours of 4 and 9, the price of electricity in my house goes up 3 or 4 times. So I try not to charge my car during those hours overnight, right? And also every new office block will be required to install a charge point for every 5 parking spaces. So every 5th space or among the whole lot, there's going to be a bunch of dedicated charging places. So there will be chargers at office blocks and probably in residential area or in retail areas as well. And this initiative is intended to boost EV adoption by helping those transitioning from the internal combustion engines, the ICE cars, help us all overcome that range anxiety. Because right now in England, there's very few charging stations. There's no real charging infrastructure for electric cars. Mm-hmm. So this mm-hmm. is how they're going to like boost it. And I just have to give a quote out. So as Nigel Pocklington, the CEO of clean energy company Good Energy, told Business Green, he's talking about how flexible charging at home and at the workplace during the day is going to be crucial to decarbonizing not just transport, but the UK's entire energy systems. And that is very true in the UK. It is equally true here in California or Texas or Montana or wherever we happen to be sitting in the world. And as we get better at energy efficiency in our buildings, as we move off of natural gas infrastructure and more onto an all-electric world, these charging stations that are smart will also help us balance out the use versus the generation as it's going on during the daylight hours and off-peak too.
I think this is, you know, the solution of asking all the legacy buildings to kind of come up to the future is really challenging. And then mm-hmm. there's so much structural encumbrance on that. But the idea of setting new standards going forward yeah. is so valuable. You know, we've talked about induction cooking options and different things that we can do going forward to just chart a better path ahead. And I love this solution. I love my solution too, because yeah. there's very few things I love more than staring up at a beautiful cloudy sky. My headline reads, "Man-made cloudy skies may be the climate change solution we need." Now, a team based from the University of Washington and the Palo Alto Research Center, PARC, and the Pacific Northwest National Library are developing a climate solution inspired by an unexpected source. Toxic emissions generated by ships traveling across the ocean. Ships traveling across the ocean, you might have seen pictures here or there, have bright white clouds that actually produce a cooling effect through a naturally occurring process in the atmosphere. There is an open international collaboration of atmospheric scientists and other experts called the Marine Cloud Brightening Project, which is specifically interested in exploring the potential for intentionally brightening marine low clouds by augmenting the natural marine aerosol particle population. That's on the researcher's site.
With this, say that quickly. Marine aerosol particle population, fast, 10 times.
It's been a long week. I don't think I have the tongue dexterity for that. So I think I need more coffee. But the idea of using seawater to create the particles in the sky, which is an abundant free source that is comprised of organic material that won't further damage the environment and gets reabsorbed by the ocean once they're finished, is actually kind of has some weight to it, right? There's an opportunity for this to work. First, they're exploring whether they can increase reflectivity in these man-made clouds. And then they have to model whether their results can, you know, have sort of aggregate effects and influence local and global climates so they can dodge any other adverse consequences. But I think this is a really interesting solution, Christy. It's, you know, we have these emissions that are happening. Why not use these emissions to actually cool the areas beneath them and potentially reduce temperatures and offset some of the effect of shipping.
Yeah. And I think they're not actually planning to use the diesel emissions or whatever's coming out of these ships, but rather spray particles from the ocean water itself.
Concurrent with the emissions.
And this is a solution which is being talked about along with others that includes creating new cloud cover, man-made clouds to lower the temperature of the sort of reflect the sunlight off of the atmosphere a little bit more and lower the Earth's temperature. And Elizabeth Colbert's book that we wrote about a few months ago, Under a White Sky, mm-hmm. talks specifically about these kinds of efforts, which are sadly increasingly becoming necessary to really investigate as our destabilized climate is starting to heat up, and make different areas around the planet a little less livable. I think this is a really interesting solution, and I like that it's on our solutions for the day. And this one is nice because it is using organic materials that are not, it's not like introducing some man-made aerosol into right. the atmosphere. It's right. actually using something which already gets there. It's just helping get more of it up into the sky. And then those clouds will hopefully bring rain and maybe, and that's the idea. So this is an interesting study and it's very needed.
Well, there are a lot of other fantastic stories for your Friday here at the Optimist Daily, including Rwandan bird sanctuary nearly doubles gray-crowned crane population. Say that 10 times fast. Evangelical Lutheran Church installs first openly transgender bishop. Well done. Study sheds new light on the effect of screens on kids' health and well-being. And there is a company on a mission to bring back the woolly mammoth.
Oh, yeah. I almost talked about that one. That's a fun one. When we were talking with Sam, the founder of the yes. solutions game, that was his favorite solution. Okay. There's an article about 4 signs that your body needs more vitamin D, which is an essential nutrient for keeping us healthy. You can get it from the sun or from supplements and food. There's a list of U.S. cities which are home to the biggest green spaces, the tremendous green spaces, which we all know trees keep us healthy. There's an herb that helps postmenopausal women age better. And researchers propose using passenger car emissions in agriculture, another use for car emissions or yeah. emissions in general that has a benefit.
I mean, recycling, urine, emissions, cow dung, that is the GM.
One person's trash is another person's treasure. Right?
Exactly. Wait. You know, I bet next week we're going to have even more good solutions, Christy. So let's wrap it up for today. Everybody have a great weekend. I am going to be working all weekend because I missed a lot of work this week, but that's okay because I love my job and I love everybody who listens. So thank you for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, you can support reader-funded independent journalism and be a part of the solution-changing consciousness that addresses our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. We need more problem solvers out here, and all working together, we can make a huge difference. Please help us keep the Optimist Daily free for all who need it, supported by those of us who can. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday with more.